Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The draft is anti-American. Have we done this before? It's an honor and a privilege to be told where you are going to be living and working and who you're going to be working with, even if that organization is going to ruin your career. There's no other business where the employees get treated this way. There really is a problem with this. There just isn't anything they can do about it. How is it that I'm the only one who will say that? Draft picks are not volunteers, they're hostages. I'm done, I quit. I don't quit. Some of you wish I would quit. I quit the topic for now. It's draft week, welcome in. Here we go. The Crusade, BFT Live. Hey, I just say what I believe, baby. And nothing at this point is going to change my mind. I am too dug in to back out now. The draft is anti-American.
Here. Yes.
Anti-American.
It's here. Volunteering to play in the NFL. I volunteered to play in the NFL. Now they draft me to see which team I play for. That's what it is right there, okay? It's great. Football.
When you began your media career.
Yeah.
Did you get drafted to a network?
No, I did not.
Okay. All well right. Then shut up.
All right. Well, it's a different thing. It's easy to throw anything out there like that. It's not exactly.
You know why
the
it's
same.
A different thing?
Right.
It's a different thing because all the networks haven't banded together to create a situation where they're allowed to pick talent one after another. That's why it's different.
Yes,
the NFL has.
I know.
The networks have it.
It's an NFL
That's
league.
That's the difference.
And when they come up with a TV league, let me know. And if there's a league and they do this, then there'll be a draft too because they'll want the best talent. Just like the NFL draft. They go, hey, we have this league, right? We got a league. We already formed it. We don't need you. We formed the league. It's been great. It's
32 separate businesses.
Right. It's, do you want to come
separate
play?
Businesses.
Under one shield. We know that. Right? So they formed a league. They're doing good without us. All right? Do you want to come play in the league? Oh, you do? All right. Well, we're going to evaluate you, and we're going to tell you where we're going to go. Sounds good to me. I'll sign up for it tomorrow. Okay? Sign up for it tomorrow.
The only way around it, there is a way around it.
Right.
There's a way around it. If you want to avoid being told where you're going to start your career, what you have to do is get drafted, sit out an entire year, get drafted again, sit out another year, and then after that, you become a free agent.
Great.
Of course, you can't make very much on your initial contract because you're slotted in the rest of the undrafted rookie wage pool, and it's complicated, but you can't do it. You just need to be willing to not work for 2 years.
Right.
Let me tell you a quick story on how I came to this position, because I blame Jeffrey Kessler, the longtime NFLPA lawyer. It was 10 years ago this week that litigation was raging between the union, or what used to be the union, and the league. Because what happened was they locked the players out.
Yep.
The union shut down. Because when there's no union, all the things the league does violates the antitrust laws because they are 32 separate businesses. The only thing that keeps it from being an antitrust violation is that they have the benefit of a global labor agreement with the players. That's it. You take that labor agreement away, it's all an antitrust violation. Minimum salaries, maximum salaries, salary caps, franchise tag, it's all an antitrust violation. And Kessler said, oh, you know what else is an antitrust violation? The draft. And my first reaction was to be extremely upset at the idea that the draft was anything other than this ordained sacred ritual, like the sorting hat in Harry Potter, that we almost, you know, fall silent and wait to see who goes where. And the more I thought about it, it bugged me. It pissed me off. Sorry, London, early on a Monday. It bothered me because it started to force me to question my position on the draft and whether it was this sacred exercise and ritual. And the more I thought about it, the more time I spent, the older my son got, and I realized, hey, you know what, if it was my kid and I lived in Pittsburgh,
yeah,
and the team in Pittsburgh had a need at the position my son plays, why the hell shouldn't he be allowed to sign there? Why does he have to go to Seattle? Yeah. I want my kid home. I don't want him in Seattle. So the passage of time, that seed that was planted, that's why we are where we are. And I can't get anybody to join me.
No.
I can't.
No, because it's ridiculous. That's why, okay?
It's not ridiculous.
Sorry.
It's not ridiculous. Yeah. I'm going to wear you down. I'm going to wear you down. And
I
predict that by the time your son, assuming that he takes after his grandfather and not after his father,
yes,
and is a highly sought after incoming draft pick some 12, 13 years from now, you will come around.
Oh, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Because you will want him to play for the Giants, not the Denver Broncos. You know, pick some
sure,
team that's
sure.
Miles
I mean,
away.
Yes, I'd want that for sure. But I'd be very happy, honored that my son would be
sure.
drafted in the NFL.
Privilege.
So it's a big
privilege.
Week, baby. It's the crapshoot of the NFL draft. It's un-American. It's all the good things that Florio loves on draft week. It's awesome.
All right, let's get to it.
All
right. Some news, some rumors, some stuff. First and foremost, multiple reports indicating, both from Ian Rappaport and Peter King, and I don't know that this is something that anyone needs to sit down for if you're not already sitting down. The 49ers have narrowed their universe of potential quarterback selections at number three to two guys, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. I think it's always been narrowed to one. I don't get this. Is this part of some broader effort to ensure that the first three picks in the draft aren't all known going into Thursday night? We already know the first two. I still don't buy the idea that your guy Kyle traded all that stuff to go to number three and didn't know who the hell he was taking, Chris.
I mean, listen, I'm with you. I don't know what else to say. I would think that, yes, he knew who he was going to take, but the fact that we're here this far from the draft and that we still are having this conversation, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. I have a hard time believing that Trey Lance isn't truly a part of the equation. You know, and then maybe we need to just go back to like what John Lynch said at that press conference, right? Right after they made the trade. We like the quarterbacks in this draft. So maybe they weren't lying. Maybe they were legitimately like, hey, wait, we like all three. So we're willing to get up here and we're going to, as we were saying back then, take fate into our own hands. Yeah, I would think Shanahan has one guy he likes for sure. I would. But they continue to do their due diligence. I don't know if a Trey Lance grew on him or whatever else. I don't have the answers to that. But I think at this point, the fact that we hear these rumors all weekend, I think it's a safe assumption to say, no, that we wouldn't be still hearing this if it was just lock, stock, two smoking barrels, it's Mac Jones. There must be some dialogue still in that 49ers organization on what to do here at the number three pick.
And the sub-headline to this is that Justin Fields is now out of the mix, so they have at least scratched one name off if
right.
that name was ever even on the list in the first place. They did go to his pro day two. They went to Trey Lance's pro day two. They went to Mac Jones' pro day two. So many of these quarterbacks having two pro days this year because they couldn't do private workouts. So that opportunity to get to know a guy well off the grid, that just wasn't there. Let me throw something at you because,
yeah.
Look, ideally in these NFL headquarters, everyone's always on the same page. There's no ulterior motive. There's no separate agenda. Is it possible that Kyle is and always has been and always will be Team Mac Jones, but there's a little CYA going on?
Yeah.
A little I told you so. Trying to build a little I told you so with Lynch getting behind Trey Lance. And if Lance ends up being great and Jones ends up crapping the bed, For some reason, I almost said the other word there, which would not be a good
amazing.
Way to start draft week.
Great week.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. That would have been great. But could it be that John Lynch is playing a little bit of a political game here and staking out some Trey Lance territory in the event that Lance is great and Jones stinks, and he picks up some estimation, some esteem, some cred in the eyes of Jed York, the owner of the team? You think that could be going on?
I don't know if it's exactly that. I do get the sense, and because I hear this from other people in the league. Yeah, there's people in the front office that love Trey Lance there in San Francisco. There's no doubt about it. I've heard it from multiple people. So I don't know if it's, you know, John Lynch trying to play a political game. You know, I've heard one of their, you know, top personnel guys. I hope I don't butcher the name here. Adam Peters. Yeah, Adam Peters, right? There's the rumor around the NFL that he's in love with Trey Lance. You talk to anybody kind of in the know, that's what you hear. So there's obviously people in the organization in his camp. There's no doubt about that. You know, added to, listen, I have a hard time sitting here on a Monday right before the draft too, thinking that, you know, the way it looks to me here on the outside looking in, that, you know, Shanahan's not, he's feeling the pressure of this pick. I mean, people are ready to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge when they heard Mac Jones might be the number three pick. So I do wonder if the pressure's getting to him a little bit. I mean, really, it looked like we were going to like have like, you know, marches in the street that Mac Jones was number three. So many people were mad there. So there's that, but it's interesting nonetheless. And listen, I don't think a report comes out like this because, like you said, Mike, there's no benefit for the 49ers to have this report out to be like, what are they, like playing favorites with Trey Lance agent or anything like, you know what I mean? There's no reason. So I think at base level, we need to take it for what it is and that there might be a possibility here that it's not Mac Jones and maybe Trey Lance is more in this conversation than I would have ever thought.
I mean, we could go ultra next level and suggest that Kyle Shanahan is trying to dupe one of his former employers into taking Trey Lance, right, at number four, the Falcons. But I know, right?
It has no benefit to him, right?
Who cares what the Falcons do?
Yeah. So that's where I get into a little mic of just like, you know, it's interesting. Hey, the public pressure. You know, I'm a Mac Jones fan. Trey Lance has an interesting skill set, as we've talked about, the way he can run. His arm is very powerful. It's gifted. It's just inconsistent. I think you've heard me say that too. But it's going to be two different offenses too. That's where I look at it and go, whoa, that could be intriguing. Listen, I think Mac Jones could be like Drew Brees or Matt Ryan in the Shanahan offense. Trey Lance, we got a taste of that RG3 offense a few years ago, right, down in Washington. Maybe Shanahan's toying with that in his brain, saying, let's do that. Let's see what I got with that run game I got, and now you add Trey Lance to the run game too. So I don't have an answer for you, but that would be the logic I would use as just sitting here as a guy that follows football in the 49ers.
Let me rewind to October of 2017 when the 49ers traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. That was between when they didn't take a close look at the quarterbacks available in the 2017 draft because Kyle Shanahan, and he has since essentially confirmed that, he thought he was getting Kirk Cousins in free agency the next year. What happened in the organization to get Kyle to back away from waiting for Cousins and accept Garoppolo? Because there were stories at the time that he wasn't happy about it. And we've always thought he's in charge there. Well, somebody pulled the Trump card on him and traded for Jimmy G. And it makes me wonder, to the extent that those forces were successful then, are those forces being activated now on Trey Lance? That's what's fascinating to me about this. I almost feel like he's being ganged up on between Adam Peters, John Lynch, maybe Jed York, maybe Parag Marate. I don't know, but I almost feel like there's this effort to get him to just forget about Mac Jones. Let's keep Jimmy G for a year. Let's get Trey Lance ready. He's going to be even better long-term than Mac Jones. I know you want to flip the switch now to somebody else. Let's do it this way. Let's give Garoppolo 1 year. Let's go to Trey Lance in 2022, and we're going to be a lot better off because Lance has a higher ceiling. I feel like someone's pushing him and pushing him to do that.
Mike, I feel the same way. You know, it's kind of what I was saying before. It just seems like the, you know, this keeps percolating over the last 5-6 days, and you just seem to continue to hear this rumor of Trey Lance. So obviously there's somebody there. And then even some people who have talked about it, you know, in the media, where I'm not going to name names, but I know they know people in San Francisco. So that makes me think like, oh, that came, I'm not saying it from Kyle, but that came from, I know he talks to somebody in San Francisco. Like there's just been too many things there where I can connect dots for me not to think it's somewhat real here. You know, I think the other thing I'll say to just what you said right there, Mike, if they draft Trey Lance, I still want to say, yeah, he's raw, but so what? Play him. This is the problem with Trey Lance. It's like, I don't know if I want to sit him for a year because he sat last year and he didn't get to throw the ball a ton the year before. So I'm more of the guy like, hey, you pick him at number three, try to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. You can run the ball and through the run make the pass game easier for a guy like Trey Lance and see where it goes from there. But, I mean, again, I'd be shocked if that's the way it goes. I really would. I just thought for sure we'd be seeing Mac Jones at number three and we'd see something like that Matt Ryan Atlanta Falcons offense that we saw in 2016. So this is big news, something to follow here.
This is the problem with having options because at some point you got to pick a lane. Yeah. You have to select a door, and that means you are going to the bigger – of an uncertainty it is, you are going to have to say, well, there goes the other guy, and he may end up becoming a Hall of Famer with someone else, and we may have picked the wrong one.
Right.
That has happened from time to time where teams face that either or, and it either works or it doesn't. We mentioned the Falcons earlier. In both Peter King's Football Morning in America and Albert Breer's Monday Morning Quarterback, the idea is floated by the writer, not as a report, but as an idea that Julio Jones could eventually be traded post-June 1. We've suggested that post-June 1 scenario as it relates to Russell Wilson. I keep thinking someone's going to do it. We see trades done in late January that aren't official until mid-March. Why not have a trade in late April that's official on June 2 when you can dramatically reduce the cap charge? And for the Falcons, it would be a $15 million reduction in the cap charge for trading Julio Jones. So both King and Breer are suggesting this could happen. It feels like to me someone in Atlanta is putting out the word.
Yeah.
Hey, say this could happen, but don't couch it as a report. Couch it as your own idea. That happens all the time.
Right.
The fact that two people are saying the same thing, that's either one hell of a coincidence or somebody in Atlanta is saying, hey, go ahead and put this out there. Just put it out there as your own idea. Either way, the idea is out there. Julio Jones could be traded, but it couldn't be for 2021 draft pick compensation because it would necessarily be a deal that becomes effective as of June 2, 2021.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear this news, right? I mean, I think this is something you and I thought, and we talked about a lot towards the end of the regular season last year, that there would be a chance that, you know, Julio Jones would be on the trade block this offseason, and they might try to do something with him. I mean, honestly, I thought maybe there was a chance they might trade him during the season last year. I think that might have been the time to actually do it. You know, right now, I look at it and just go, I don't know, Mike. I mean, my gut feeling for the respect I have for Julio Jones, where I would say this is a guy that's probably in the conversation for the 10 greatest wide receivers of all time. I think he's in that combo. He's that special of a guy. Where would you want him at this point of his career with that type of price tag? I'm not sure I would. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I'm just talking like football business here. I mean, he's a guy that we know can barely practice a lot of the weeks. It's always like, well, we're going to see Saturday for Julio. We'll see how he feels at the walkthrough, and we'll make the decision for Sunday's game then. Or it's wake up Sunday morning, and we're going to hear Julio's going to work out before the game, right? It's always that type of talk. So with that, the type of money, and then, of course, like the play went downwards last year. I have a hard time thinking there's going to be a huge market for a guy like Julio Jones. I don't know. You tell me. Is that crazy for me to think that?
No, there's a couple of factors to consider. The salary isn't ridiculous in comparison to the market. You could get him for the balance of his contract, 3 years left, 15.3 this year, 11.5 next year, 11.5 the year after that. Those are not ridiculous numbers.
No,
the
not.
Problem is he may roll through the door saying, I want more money. See, he's got to want to be traded to you. It's almost like trading for a quarterback. I think Julio Jones is closer to that category of, you better be sure he wants to be there.
Right.
I saw one the Ravens. Peter suggested the Ravens. Do you think Julio Jones is going to accept a trade to the Ravens? Hell no. Hell no. He may not show up if they would do it.
Yeah.
So he's got to be on board with it. And one way to get him on board with it, he may want more money. And the problem is, guys always have. You know, especially as they get later in their career, they remember what they did. They want to be paid for what they've done. They want. They don't have
a great sense of reality,
view of their
yes,
value.
Right.
Right. They think they can still do what they did 5 years
no
ago.
No doubt about it.
And that complicates it as well. So, you know, if there's any new deal to be done, he's got to be on board with it. Even if they're trading the contract as is, you better make sure he's on board with it or you're buying yourself a problem. And to your point, yeah, is he still the guy that he was? Is he a guy you can truly count on? And this may be why Atlanta's trying to be a little coy here, trying to maybe stoke a market when there may not be one. There may not be one. Maybe they'd love to be able to trade him, but there may not be a market. And when Peter King suggests a second-round pick for Julio Jones, hell, that's what they got for Mohamed Sanu.
Right.
So maybe it tells you the Falcons not quite fire sale when it comes to Julio Jones, but maybe they've realized and maybe they've recognized that even though they want to keep Matt Ryan, Julio Jones is the guy whose time has come to move on. Just good luck finding someone to take him. I think that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, I agree.
Finding someone to take on that, even though that contract isn't $22, $23, $24 million a year.
Right.
Most of the money's already been paid out. That's still a lot to pay to one guy who is far closer to the end than the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who had 770 yards last year and was banged up and not the number one receiver on his own team, right? So, I'm, you know, it does. It sounds crazy to say it. But, I mean, I think a second rounder is probably, they'd probably go, okay, we'd take that. You know, I don't know if anybody for that number we're talking about, even though, like you said, it's not like a huge number for what the market is right now. I don't know. To me, it'd be one of those things where it jumps out to me, Mike, like where, hey, maybe he's, you know, on the market right now, right? A little bit like, hey, yeah, I think it's going to be more of one of those things where it's going to have to take a team that looks at themselves as like a Super Bowl contender, right? And they get into training camp and they realize, ooh, we need one more person. And I think we can win the Super Bowl. Like, maybe it's the Green Bay Packers. Maybe something like a team like that. You know what I'm saying? I think it's that type of team, that type of situation that's going to trade for Julio. Like, because to your point earlier, it's not going to be some team that's, like, on the up and coming, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, we want an old veteran receiver, and now we might have to pay him more money with a contract extension as we're rebuilding our team. That makes no sense. To me, it would have to be a team that is legit, like, we're one guy away. We need one playmaker. And maybe that does happen as we get closer to training camp or go throughout training camp.
He became a problem for the Falcons 3 years ago.
Right.
And we have drawn the line to the Matt Ryan most recent contract that pays him $30 million a year.
Yeah.
At the time, Julio Jones was making $15 million a year. Easy to say, wait a minute. That right. guy isn't worth twice as much as me to this team. That guy's who he is in part because of me. But also at the same time, that same time period when there was this vague talk, is he going to hold out? Is he not going to hold out? I remember hearing that Julio Jones was kind of changing because he was spending time with a lot of really, really rich people. And if you're a football player, there's only one way to get really, really, really rich, and that's to maximize your football earnings, period. And that's why he drew the line in the sand, got the $22 million contract. And I think he's been kind of a headache behind the scenes for the Falcons the past few years. And I'm saying all this because, number one, I'm not sure I've ever said it before, but I've known it for 3 years. But number two, I'm going to throw a dart here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quite close my eyes, but I am going to throw a dart. It may hit the board. It may not hit the board. Here's my prediction.
Okay.
If they don't trade him, they're going to cut him June 2.
Ooh.
That's my prediction. Because even though it'll cost them money,
right,
under the cap, they're going to save $15 million.
Yeah.
In a year where the cap's down, you got to look at it. You say, a guy played 9 games last year.
Right.
And maybe they're thinking some days he didn't go when we think maybe he could have gone. Maybe they're thinking that. And you know what? We clear up $15 million in cash and cap space by moving on. Yeah, we're going to take a cap charge.
Yeah.
But it's not nearly the cap charge we would have taken. We're going to come out of it ahead of the game net. And I think the key is, if at 4, they take a Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase.
Right.
That's the next step down that trail. Okay, they'll try to trade him after that. If they don't find any takers, if they can't work it out, I think June 2, it's thanks for the memories, Julio Jones. That's when we see on social media, thank you, Julio Jones, from the right. Atlanta Falcons, on the day they're telling him to pack up his stuff and move on.
It's not a crazy thought. I mean, there's logic there. There's no doubt. And, yeah, I mean, he could be expendable because of kind of like what you're saying. I mean, if you made me bet money, I'd bet Atlanta takes Kyle Pitts from Florida at pick number 4. Only thing I would say where I'm just a little tentative to buy onto what you said, because it makes a lot of sense, is just though the fact that, like, this is Arthur Smith's first year. He's an offensive guy. I would think he's going to want a Julio there just so his offense looks special, to get off on the right propaganda note in Atlanta so everybody can be like, hey, look, it was a good hire. Look at this offense. It was fun. I don't know. But it's an interesting thought nonetheless. You're right, Mike. I mean, for this year, for what he is right now, the issues with the body, you know, the salary cap issues with the league, like you said, it's not a crazy thought. I hear you there.
You draft Pitts 4th overall. That goes a long way toward
right.
replacing Julio Jones. And then you take one of these other receivers, round 3, round 4. There's so, you know, we keep hearing there's so many.
There is.
And you got Calvin Ridley. So yeah. I just think that if Arthur Smith really does want to get off on the right note, and there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about this background relationship between Jones and the Falcons, and maybe Arthur Blank and Rich McKay have gotten a little exasperated with him. I think just the fact that we're starting draft week with the two primary Monday morning news columns, Peter King's Football Morning in America and SI's Monday Morning Quarterback, which Peter started all those years ago, both with the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Not a report, just a suggestion. Don't be surprised. It tells me that McKay has been sent out to lay the foundation to try to get a trade for Julio Jones, and they've mapped it out. They've played it out. If they can't pull it off, I think June 2, it's going to be see you later, Julio.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll trade him.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll trade him. But you know, when you said who's going to want to take on that contract, that's when it occurred to me, well, if they can't trade him, why would they want to keep that contract if no one wants to take it on?
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, it's certainly a good thought. The only thing I can think of, you know, again, is he does have talent. He's still explosive as hell. That's where I would think maybe they want to keep him one more year, not take the dead cap hit, get Arthur Smith's career going in the right direction here, and go that way. I don't know. Either way, I'm not shocked to hear that he's on the trading block. I'm really not. I don't think there's going to be a huge market for him, you know, because of all the issues we've talked about. It'd be something to watch here, though. It really would be. I don't think this is a trade that goes down this week or anything during trade, you know, the draft weekend. I think this is one of those where teams get to OTAs, they start to evaluate their team a little bit and start to go, okay, wait, we do have a real need for a difference-making receiver. Maybe that's when we start to hear something, you know, a little more concrete with this.
But now's the perfect time
yeah.
to throw that idea out into the stream. And, you know, it's like fishing. This is the cast by the Falcons. And they're just going to sit there and they're going to wait to see if the pole starts to, you know, that feeling
jiggle.
You get when you see
right.
that pole starting to jiggle and you right. know you got something on the line. All right. This potentially would be a spot where we could play the Chris Sims Pina Colada graphic, because this is something that happened while you were enjoying your 3-day weekend. Panthers GM Scott Fitterer spoke to the media on Friday, and I almost said Saturday because it's the first day of the weekend, but that was for me, not for you. It was day 2 for you. But anyway, here's Fitterer talking about the quarterback they've recently acquired via trade from the Jets and whether or not they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. There's a report that they are. Let's listen to Fitterer on whether or not that's actually the case.
Will your decision on Sam's fifth-year option be impacted at all by what you do in the draft? No, we have a plan in place, and that's something we'll address after the draft, and that's what we're focused on right now, but we have a plan in place.
Is that an expectation to pick up the option?
Again, we'll talk about it after the draft, but yes, we do have a strong plan in place.
You know what? When I saw the words, I thought one thing. When I saw that, I think something else. I think they are picking up the option on Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I think it would take something extremely unforeseen for them to not do it. But if a quarterback falls to them, if one of the top guys falls to them, it happens to be a guy that the owner, David Tepper, really wants, do you pick up the fifth-year option on Sam Darnold? Do you try to flip him to someone else and get back some of the draft picks you gave up? I mean, it occurred to me on Saturday, there's a chance if they get the guy that they otherwise would have traded up for, if he falls to them and they didn't have to trade up for him,
right?
They probably gave up less to get Darnold than they would have given up to move up to get the guy that falls to them at 8. So, you know, it could be genius here. This could be next-level stuff David Tepper is doing, where you buy insurance and then you'll wait and see how the board plays out. And if it plays out to your favor and you get a quarterback, then you just unload the guy that you gave up 3 draft picks to get.
Well, I mean, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if that did happen. I'd be shocked that, like, if they didn't pick up the fifth-year option for Sam Darnold. You know, they traded pretty significant value to get a guy like that. I would just be surprised. Now, you know, I mean, from all appearances, it seems like the guy they wanted was Mac Jones. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence the 49ers trade up to number 3, and then like 3 days later, the Panthers are trading for Sam Darnold. I mean, I think that says something, let alone they coached Mac Jones in the Senior Bowl, the Panthers coaching staff. So there's just too many things to make me think that's what they wanted. But I think they've made their bed now. I mean, I would be shocked. No matter who it was or whoever they fancied, I would think they're going with Sam Darnold. He fits the way they want to play. Darnold has talent. You know, I would think they did this because they like Darnold too and what he brings to the table here. So, I mean, listen, it's an interesting theory. I don't know, but I would just be shocked. They've done so many smart things with their roster. To me, even if the quarterback they wanted fell to them at number 8 right now, I just think it brings more headaches than it does positive things than just to make a pick that for another need on their football team.
So why wouldn't they just go ahead and pick up the option? Unless they're trying to make others think
exactly
that they're waiting for a quarterback.
That's what
and
it
maybe,
is to me.
Maybe get the Broncos to jump them and
right.
take a quarterback
right.
and it pushes down the guy they want.
I think so, Mike. That's at least what it seems like to me, right? I mean, they're kind of just like they don't want to say it. They're going to play like the coy, like to what you said. Oh, maybe the Panthers still have a quarterback they have on their eye on, everything like that. I think they're playing that game. I really would be surprised if they ended up taking a quarterback at number 8 and open up the can of worms there. You know, who's to say, where's Sam Darnold going to go? What are you going to do with him right now? I mean, that to me, then I'd be going, well, that was a dumb trade. I don't know what to say. You got a backup quarterback or a guy you got a year before you start some other rookie quarterback, you take at 8 and you traded all those assets. So I just would be shocked if that was the move they made. Well,
but that's when you put David Tepper out there to say, look, it was too expensive to trade up after the 49ers blew the curve by giving up 2 first-round picks and a 3 to go from 12 to 3. There was no way we were going to give up what we had to give up to move up, so we just thought we'd give up far less, see if it worked out, and now we decided, you know, hey, the guy that we never thought would be there was there, and we're going to move forward. And Chris, look, to get back to where we started, if the 49ers do take Trey Lance,
yeah.
Are the Falcons taking Mac Jones? Are the Bengals taking Mac Jones? Are the Dolphins taking Mac Jones? Are the Lions taking Mac Jones? Unless somebody trades up, Mac Jones could fall to the Panthers at 8.
Oh, I think he would. And I think that's when we hear the phone call. And it said, hi, this is Bill Belichick's dog. And I'm looking to trade for a quarterback for Bill. I'm the dog you saw on TV last year. I mean, that's when I think you start to hear those kind of calls. Teams like a Patriots, who has been rumored to like Mac Jones and everything like that, maybe they start to get involved and make a move. So I don't know. It'd be interesting. This whole quarterback thing is interesting. You could lay out, you know, a few different scenarios where really Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, they all could fall in some way. But as I said here right now, I think the one that I look at that I think is going to fall a little bit is Justin Fields. Just for the things we've talked about today, we'll see. But it's interesting between the 49ers, the Panthers, you know, and who's going to be the odd guy out of these five quarterbacks. Going to be fun to watch.
You know, I'm trying to remember last year when we saw the picture of Bill Belichick's dog. I just don't think that Chris Sims imitating Phil Sims trying to talk like a dog is the voice that would come out.
Probably not.
Of Bill Belichick's dog. I think it's a little higher pitch.
It's a little higher pitch?
A little higher range. Not squeaky. It's not one of those little dogs that you can fit in your purse. It's mid-range.
I thought Belichick might talk more like Bill and just be like, rawr, 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 like just more like that.
I think that Belichick wouldn't want a dog like that around him because that dog would not be in the same room as Bill. You need to have the differences in personality or
right.
It doesn't work.
Two curmudgeons doesn't work together.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, something else that happened while Chris was in his hammock with a pina colada.
This damn work
maybe
stuff.
Something else. Some help for Patrick Mahomes. How much of a difference will it make? We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Chiefs Kingdom, what's going on, man? I just landed here in Kansas City. I'm super excited to be a part of this organization, be a part of the family, and win some more Super Bowls. Let's go.
Orlando Brown Jr. making noise throughout the offseason that he's not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. He apparently will be a left tackle in Kansas City. There's what the Chiefs get. They get Orlando Brown Jr., a 2021 second rounder, a 2022 sixth rounder. Ravens get all sorts of other stuff led by a 2021 first rounder. This is the grains of rice trade. You know, every once in a while, there's a simple, straight, clear trade. Then you get one of these where they're dropping the rice on each side of the scale just to get it right, just to get it measured out. And as they were measuring it out, Chris was using a different kind of scale to measure something else out for his three-day weekend.
You know, man, can we go back in time to where I can get back on the hammock again? The hell with this show. The hell with it.
What was your reaction when you were laying in your hammock with your pina colada, your smoking implement of choice, and you saw that Orlando Brown had been traded by the Ravens to one of their top rivals in the conference?
Yeah, like, wow, like, whoa, like, I mean, I think the first thing I just was more, it was all Chiefs related for me at first to just go, I mean, what a bold move. The Chiefs, the one thing I just, you know, they're one of those teams, again, every year it's just like, here you go, there's the pot, we're all in, 2021, it's Super Bowl or bust, we don't give a damn about anything else. And that's what I love. I mean, I love it from that standpoint. I love it from the standpoint of, like, of course, you protect your baby God, Jesus quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, at all cases. Like, what? We got to.
Except in the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, they learned their lesson. Because, really, if he's protected, they have a chance in every game, no matter who they play, for the next 5 years. It just doesn't matter. We've seen that. When he has protection and can dance around, it doesn't matter who it is, he can make it happen. And that's where I give the Chiefs like a ton of credit. Yeah, they need to do it because the best player in their league is their quarterback, and they're in the window. And, Mike, the other thing I love about it, like you and I talk about it all the time, is
You know, they go all in on going, no, we have an elite unit. We're going all in on our offense. It's going to be so damn awesome, and we're going to dictate your offense and defensive play because our offense is so awesome. We're going to dictate the game with that side of the ball, and that's where I love the Chiefs in this move.
This is the most amazing package of incompletions in the history of the National Football right. League. It is amazing what Patrick Mahomes tried to do single-handedly. Guys dropping passes, guys almost making great
face.
Plays. And it's all coming from the fact that he was running for his life all game long because they didn't have their starting tackles. They didn't do anything to help the tackles they had.
Right.
It was
right.
five on however many the Buccaneers were sending. And now Orlando Brown...
On one bad foot.
Presumably the left tackle.
Yeah. On one bad foot, and now they've added Joe Tooney, one of the best guards in football. They got a better center in Blythe, Austin Blythe from the Los Angeles Rams. You know, we got Duvernay-Tardif back. Kyle Long, there he goes. I mean, you look at this offense, and they got other guys. You know, they got Lucas Niang, I'm probably butchering his name, and I don't mean to, out of TCU, who they drafted 2 years ago in the draft. Who I know they like. There's other players they got. So they went from we're going, whoa, this is a really thin offensive line, to you go, whoa, this is one of the better offensive lines in football, and they have some depth and versatility to it. So that's a strong unit right there. I mean, that really is. That's Veach and Andy Reid, you know, really doing a great job of addressing a problem in the offseason. And I mean, really didn't exhaust all their expenses to do it and do those type of things. I think it was a no-brainer, awesome trade for a guy in Orlando Brown who's a franchise left tackle type of player, Mike.
I can only imagine that the Ravens traded him to the Chiefs as an almost absolute last resort. That
right?
You would have called
right.
any other team in the league.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the Vikings would be the team that would end up potentially with Orlando Brown
yeah.
Jr. with some sort of a flip-flop in round one or something like that. But
right.
to go to the Chiefs, I mean, that's a half click away from trading him to the Steelers, for crying out loud. That's what surprised me. You're making one of your top rivals better. The team that your quarterback has called your kryptonite. You've given them another chunk of kryptonite that they can use against
yeah.
you
right.
when they come to town during the regular season in 2021 and when you potentially face them in the postseason.
Right. And kryptonite to the fact, like, they can't get to Mahomes when they play him. And now they gave him a mountain for a left tackle in Orlando Brown Jr. So it is interesting. And Mike, I mean, I think you're right. I got to think that they were probably exhausting all options to just go, wait, like, yeah, we want to trade you. Oh, wait, the Chiefs have a good offer? Anybody else out there? Any other offers? Please. Oh, the Chiefs have a good offer? Anybody, please make an offer. But I think they realized that this guy was gone after next year are going to cause issues. And, yeah, they got a good offer from the Chiefs, and so be it. And the Ravens, you know them. They still got a lot of good offensive linemen, and they'll find somebody here in the draft to improve that part of their team. I'm not worried about them, really.
Yeah, and you're right. It was clear he didn't want to be there. So you got to ask yourself, what
yeah.
are we going to do? We're going to kick the
right.
can for a year, and then he leaves as a free agent, and then we finally get a compensatory draft pick another year after that? Or do we take what we can get now? And
right.
they surely have an idea of what they're going to do. Now they got 27 and 31. Interesting to see whether they maybe package those and try to move up.
Right.
Right? Or it's two lottery tickets they get to use at the bottom of round one. And there's no way they do that and take on that pick if they're not damn confident they're going to get a really good player in that spot. You don't do it, especially not to the Chiefs.
No, I know. So there must be guys on the board there that they're very happy with nonetheless. Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, maybe they could address an offensive lineman with one of those two picks. Certainly, you know, there's no doubt about that. We know they need edge guys, right? That would be another thing I'd be looking at. They've lost Judon and you know, our guy Smith, Zadarius Smith up in Green Bay the last few years in free agency. You know, I would think they're looking for that type of guy there towards the end of the first round. And I would think there's some guys on the board, you know, that fit that mold. So that would be interesting to see. I mean, maybe they get the Rousseau kid from Miami who Calais Campbell just stuck up for and everything like that. I mean, he's a guy that I think could certainly see sitting there at the end of the first round, Mike, as far as a big defensive end who could help out their defensive line for sure.
And that would be awesome if Gregory Rousseau
right.
ends up falling to the Ravens and they unite him with Calais Campbell. Campbell has been such a champion for Rousseau. All these questions about, is he going to go round one? When the agent comes out and says there are multiple teams that have said they're going to take him in round one, unless he's already told the player he's lying just to try to pump up his market, good agents know. They know.
Yeah,
because
right.
the teams have a reason to let them know because there's a broader relationship where you negotiate contracts. So that'd be something if
right.
the Ravens end up being the team to take him at number 27. Now they have a need at right tackle, and they may – that's the other side of this. They're planning to sign Alejandro Villanueva from the Steelers
right.
after the draft. They want to play that compensatory draft pick game right. The window closes after the draft on any of those unrestricted free agent signings counting toward the compensatory draft pick formula, and few teams master that formula like the Ravens. So that's how they presumably are going to replace Orlando Brown Jr. Alejandro Villanueva moves left side to right side and moves Steelers to Ravens.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's probably the plan we hear, right? They were talking to Dennis Kelly, I believe, too, this past weekend, or he was in the building for a visit. So the Ravens have a plan set forth here as far as life for after Orlando Brown Jr. And even with that, you know, again, like you said, Ronnie Staley was hurt last year. He'll be back. They got Zeitler. You know, they got a lot of other guys that played a lot on their offensive line last year because of their injuries. They were mixed and matched. So they have bodies here. This is not like, oh, no, what are the Ravens going to do? They're decimated at offensive line. Now, they're a smart football team. Their offensive line is one of the keys to their keys to success. But, yeah, I would say that one of those right tackles is getting signed here in the next few days, and I wouldn't be shocked if we saw somebody get drafted, too, for Baltimore.
Just another layer of intrigue for when the Ravens and the Chiefs get together in the regular season in Baltimore. Orlando Brown Jr. will be back in town, and he and others will be protecting Patrick Mahomes and letting him run around, not for his life, but because he chooses to. Let's take a break. When we return, Bill Belichick chose to take a day off. What happened to hashtag no days off? We'll tell you why Bill Belichick wasn't in the building on Saturday when PFT Live continues right after this. Bill Belichick took a day off on Saturday, although I suspect he didn't take the whole day off, but he did make a detour, Chris, from Patriot Place to Annapolis. He received the key to the city of Annapolis at halftime of an Army-Navy lacrosse game. And I look, if it was any other coach, we would raise eyebrows. It's 5 days until the draft. How can you not be at work 5 days before the draft? But when you got 8 rings, 6 of which you've won as head coach of the Patriots, you do get a little bit of a leeway because you assume Bill got his work done, and Bill probably had work he was doing while at the game. But the Patriots will be fine come Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But if it was any other coach, we would be saying, what are you doing 5 days before the draft, skipping out of the office?
Well, I mean, you're right. It's rare to see them out and about this time of the year because they are usually grinding away and everything like that. But, like, listen, if there's certainties on earth, right, which there's not a lot of them, but one of them I feel pretty confident in saying is that Bill Belichick is prepared for the draft 5 days out. In fact, I would argue Bill Belichick's probably – as prepared for the 2022 draft as some teams are for the 2021 draft right now. So I don't think you got to worry about it. That's where Bill Belichick is. Like, no joke. I mean, he probably is to a degree onto the 2022 draft to a degree. He's just fine-tuning it at this point. From everything I saw when I was working there to the people I know there, that's just the way he operates. So good for him. Cool little honor he got. We know how, you know, Annapolis and Navy are so special to him, but he'll be ready to go. That's for sure.
Great story in the Capital Gazette about the ceremony. They had tried 2 prior times to give them the key to the city. They couldn't work it out. So they were a little nervous about making sure everything went perfectly. They're gathering for the ceremony at halftime. They can't find Bill. Where's Bill? He was being interviewed by CBS Sports Network, which was televising the game. So then they get Bill. And then they also brought some of his high school teammates, classmates, and some of the guys he hadn't seen since high school.
Wow.
And they were there too. So it sounds like it was a neat event and something that was long overdue. I don't know how many Super Bowls you got to win to get the key to the city of Annapolis, but apparently the magic number is 6, although they have tried to do it maybe when it was 5. Maybe 5 was the magic number to get the key to the city of Annapolis. So good news for Bill Belichick. Also good news for the Patriots. Mike Reese of ESPN Boston reported over the weekend that a significant group of players showed up last week. You know, they issued the statement, many of us won't be at the voluntary workouts. Well, many of them were, led by Cam Newton and a bunch of the free agent guys they've added. And they're working together. They're building the camaraderie. They're going out and doing things together. This is all part of laying the foundation, Chris, for a potentially competitive football team.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, shocker. You mean the Patriot players were there to work at football? Shocker. I mean, that's, I'm sure Bill and the Patriots are like, come on, all you other teams, stay at home and band together as players, right? You do it. New England, they know they've drafted and signed players who love football. I mean, that's part of what they do. It's why they miss out on the draft sometimes, because they value like the gym rat and the guy that's going to be all in and going to be there, like, you know, the day after, you know, May, just in the middle of May on a Sunday, whatever. That's the guys that they draft and get, you know, and accumulate on. That's a part of their culture. So they're going to continue to see high attendance there. I would be shocked. It's the type of guys they are, and those guys also know those coaches and that organization. And if they want to get in the good favor of those coaches and that organization, they better be there and be ready to work.
Yeah, that's the problem with this effort to try to get the guys to boycott, because it does create strategic advantages. We've already talked about the four teams that aren't being squeezed to stay away because of the workout bonuses. The Packers, the Bills, the Jaguars, the Chiefs, they have an edge. The Patriots have an edge. And as I said yesterday when I wrote this up, years from now, no one's going to remember this collective bargaining back and forth that happened in April of 2021. Everyone's going to remember who won the Super Bowl this year. And that's one of the reasons why it's either going to crumble or it's going to work to the tremendous advantage of the teams that are there for the entirety of the offseason program. They're going to be better prepared when training camp rolls around. All right, we're going to get you better prepared for the draft. We're going to take a look at Peter King's one and only mock draft when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.